Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's time for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
Good morning, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Jonathan Najjar, making sure everything runs smoothly. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. The coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you'd like more information, go to their website, gogginkold.com. As always, big thanks for our sponsors, making it possible for us to be here each and every Saturday. We'll be with you all the way up to December 21st, when we have a special bowl edition. Big thanks to our sponsors, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, along with real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, along with Casa of Nashville, Klein Preston Law Group, and Lanham's AC Service. A lot to get to. First and foremost, let's go back to what we've seen already this week in the college football landscape. Started on Wednesday night. In the Sun Belt, Troy took down South Alabama 37-13. Troy improved to 3-3 on the year, South Alabama falling to 1-6. And then on Thursday night, Pac-12 action, it was UCLA showing signs of life as they notched their second win of the season, both of the wins in Pac-12 action, as they downed Stanford 34-16. So with the win, UCLA, Chip Kelly's group, improved to 2-5 on the year, 2-2 in the Pac-12. As far as Stanford, they fall to 3-4 and 2-3 in conference play. Also in Sun Belt action on Thursday night, it was Louisiana Lafayette all over Arkansas State, 37-20. And then last night, we had a game involving a team ranked. It was fourth-ranked Ohio State. No problems at all. This is what you look for when you've got a ranked team like this. You know, LSU is facing that later today as they take on Mississippi State. Here's an LSU team favored by 18 later today against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Like Ohio State last night, no problems at all as they rolled big, winning 52-3 over Northwestern. Ohio State improves to 7-0 on the year, 4-0 as far as in the Big Ten. Northwestern falls to 1-5, 0-4 in the conference play. By the way, with that win, Ohio State, they have allowed 10 or fewer points in six straight games. It's the longest in team history since 2006. Also, it's the first Big Ten team now to start with seven wins of 20 or more points. You have to go all the way back to 1973, the last time that has happened as far as a Big Ten team is concerned. Also in action last night, it was Pitt beating Syracuse on the road. Pitt won 27-20 in the ACC. How about Pitt? You know, they're now 5-2 on the year, 2-1 in the ACC. Syracuse falls to 3-4 on the season, 0-3 in the ACC. And then finally last night, it was Marshall taking down Florida Atlantic. Marshall went on the road and took care of business against Lane Kiffin's group. It was Marshall winning 36-31. Marshall improves to 4-3 on the year, 2-1 in Conference USA action. Florida Atlantic falls to 4-3, 2-1 in Conference USA. By the way, back to Ohio State, Justin Fields, another outstanding performance from him. 18-23, 194 yards, 4 touchdowns passing. And then on the ground, you know, the balanced attack through the air, on the ground as well. J.K. Dobbins for Ohio State, 18 carries, 121 yards, and 1 touchdown. Looking at the top 25 action today and when they play, first starting with number 1 ranked Alabama. We'll get into this conversation as well throughout the 2 hours. But Alabama tonight, first night game finally in Tuscaloosa, a chance for them to display all their bells, whistles, their new light system, play in Dixieland Delight, and more. A 34.5 point favorite tonight for Alabama in Tuscaloosa, with Tennessee coming to town. This afternoon, you have second-ranked LSU. By the way, with their win over Florida last week, jumped up three notches from fifth to number two. A lot of speculation when we get the first poll from the playoff committee that a lot of anticipation, maybe it'll be LSU instead of Alabama at number one. But before we get to that poll, remember, LSU, besides Mississippi State today, they still have to take care of Auburn next week. Auburn comes to Baton Rouge to take on LSU, and that's one of the reasons why you haven't seen yet a move to get the Alabama-LSU game moved to a nighttime start in Tuscaloosa. But a lot of it is because behind the scenes, they're playing the wait-and-see game to see what happens with Auburn-LSU on October 26th. And oh, by the way, LSU still has to get by Mississippi State on the road today. Probably more concerned with next week compared to today if you're a fan of LSU. Speaking of Tigers, it's third-ranked Clemson today. That's one of the 11 o'clock kickoffs. They're on the road taking on Louisville, and we'll keep you updated on that game when it kicks off in the 11 o'clock hour. As we mentioned, it was fourth-ranked Ohio State winning 52-3 over Northwestern last night. Fifth-ranked Oklahoma, 11 o'clock kickoff this morning as they play host to West Virginia. You have sixth-ranked Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor and company. They moved up two more notches, so they go from eighth to sixth after beating Michigan State last week 38-0. And so now you have a Wisconsin team on the road today taking on Illinois. Once again, 11 o'clock kickoff. We'll also update you with that game throughout the morning. 6:30 tonight, 7th-ranked Penn State playing host to 16th-ranked Michigan. We'll get more into this conversation about this game as well as we talk about what is in store for Jim Harbaugh and his group and what they have to do to find a way to get the job done tonight going into Penn State. By the way, Penn State last week, Jane Franklin's group, first time going on the road, beating a ranked team as they brought down 17th-ranked Iowa at the time, 17-12. Notre Dame ranked 8th this week, moving up one spot after their win over USC last week, 30-27. They're off this week. You have 9th-ranked Florida trying to bounce back after their two-touchdown loss to LSU. They kick off in the 11 o'clock hour at South Carolina. How about this? South Carolina looking for it's been a while. In fact, they've never accomplished the fact that, you know, with a big win they had knocking down Georgia last week, they have the opportunity to put together back-to-back wins against top 10 teams. And to do so, boy, would that serve notice as far as the SEC East. And I'm sure Missouri would appreciate that as well in the SEC East, because Missouri, the only unbeaten team as far as in conference play, entering action this afternoon against Vanderbilt, the only unbeaten team as far as in conference play in the East, Missouri leading the way 2-0 on the season in the conference. Florida, Georgia, all with both of those teams with one loss. Florida's 3-1 in the conference. Georgia, 2-1. Other action today, speaking of Georgia, they will play at 5 this afternoon. They're ranked 10th this week. They'll be hosting Kentucky. You have 11th-ranked Auburn kicking off this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. They're on the road in Fayetteville taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks. 12th-ranked Oregon, a 2:30 kickoff this afternoon. One of three matchups where both teams ranked in the top 25 is Oregon, ranked 12th. They're on the road taking on 25th-ranked Washington. Speaking of matchups of top 25 teams, at 13th, Utah, 5 o'clock kickoff for them as they play host to 17th-ranked Arizona State. Also tonight, 14th-ranked Boise State. They're on the road taking on BYU, 9:15 kickoff for that particular contest. You have 15th-ranked Texas. They lost last week in the Red River Rivalry to Oklahoma, 34-27. Today, they're playing host to Kansas, 6 o'clock kickoff for that one. As we mentioned earlier, it's 16th-ranked Michigan, 6:30 kickoff for them at 7th-ranked Penn State. You have 17th-ranked Arizona State, as we mentioned, 5 o'clock kickoff for them at 13th-ranked Utah. You have 18th-ranked Baylor, 3 o'clock kickoff this afternoon as they take on Oklahoma State in Big 12 play. You have SMU, second straight week ranked, moved up two spots this week. Still, in fact, one of 12 unbeaten teams remaining. 19th-ranked SMU, 2:30 kickoff for them as they play host to Temple. How about Minnesota? This is one of the things I love about college football. We can talk about the Alabamas and the Clemsons all day long. How about Minnesota? They've now won 8 straight games, tying a school record that was set back originally 1948-49, and Minnesota putting that on the line today, ranked 20th this week. The last team to finally get ranked as far as Power 5 unbeatens. So you have 6-0 Minnesota, 2:30 kickoff for them at Rutgers, a heavy favorite, a 4-touchdown favorite against Rutgers this afternoon. You have 21st-ranked Cincinnati, 2:30 kickoff for them as they play host to Tulsa. As we mentioned earlier, we'll get into this conversation in a few minutes, as 22nd-ranked Missouri in town this afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff over at Vanderbilt Stadium, taking on the Commodores. You have 23rd-ranked Iowa, 11 o'clock kickoff for them as they play host to Purdue in the Big Ten. And then Appalachian State making its way. Second time that you have Appalachian State ranked as far as in the top 25. Here they are putting that ranking on the line today. 5-0 so far in the season. 2:30 kickoff for them as they play host to Louisiana Monroe. And then finally, as we mentioned earlier, 25th-ranked Washington, 2:30 start time for them as they play host to 12th-ranked Oregon. Coming up on the show this morning, we have the fun and the certainly it's a nice award for us at 10:20. Joe Fisher, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, and then in the 11 o'clock hour at 11:37, Bob Kessling, the voice of Tennessee, the Vols, in Tuscaloosa tonight to take on Alabama. But Bob Kessling will be joining us at 11:37. Also a little bit later this hour to preview Big Ten action, Penn State as they host Michigan at 10:37. Corey Geiger with the Altoona Mirror up in Pennsylvania. He'll join us. And as always, at 11:05, Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner. He's based out of Birmingham. He's a co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. He'll be a part of the show talking about and previewing the SEC landscape today. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you making our show a daily destination throughout the college football season, not only during the weekday, Monday through Fridays with my afternoon show, but on Saturdays with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. Coming up on the other side, Joe Fisher, the voice of the Commodores, will be joining us. You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. By the way, one of our sponsors that make it possible for us to bring this show to you every Saturday, the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Southeastern Conference and the Atlanta Braves, with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. A little bit later this hour, around 10:37, Corey Geiger, he covers Penn State and the Big Ten for the Altoona Mirror up in Pennsylvania. We'll be joining him. But right now, go on the hotline. Appreciate it so much. Joe Fisher, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. I know it's a busy day for you, Joe, and we certainly appreciate you taking time out with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Johnny. A beautiful day here. Good morning.
We were talking about this earlier this week, and I look today at this opportunity for Vanderbilt, some players that maybe have not had the opportunity to show what they can do. Maybe with six games to go, the opportunity could be there today for folks to have that opportunity against Missouri.
Well, I think at this point they went into this week, realizing that some things weren't working and maybe some personnel positions they needed to reevaluate. So, certainly there's an opportunity for a lot of people to step up here. They're going to have to. Missouri's pretty darn good. I think some other things that factor in, there were some guys last week that were not 100% that are much closer to that this week. That certainly helps. Guys like Kalijah Lipscomb was really slowed last week, had a bruised heel and couldn't do much at all. He's in much better shape today. I think Keyshawn Vaughn is in a little better shape today as well. So you get some of your big star players back a little more healthy too. That certainly helps some things. And other things are starting to factor in. You mentioned week six, being gone now, being passed. And so you get to a point where you're looking at, the opportunity to have guys now have played together on the offensive line for more than just a week or two with the injuries they had early on. So you're hoping some of these things will start to put together an uptick where these guys will begin to gel and do what they think they can do.
It's interesting. This will be the third opponent for Vanderbilt this year to go along with Georgia and LSU, a team that certainly is thinking about winning a division title in the Southeastern Conference, about playing for an SEC championship, about being one of the four college football playoff teams. You kind of snicker when you first say that when you think Missouri, really? Bottom line is Missouri accomplishes. They can even lose to either Georgia or Florida in the month of November, and Missouri can still achieve all of those things I just mentioned.
They can, and the thing, the cloud that's floating over them that they're trying to forget about is the fact that they're banned from both positions.
Right.
They're still banned. They've appealed that. They're awaiting, an answer on their appeal, so they're playing with the hope that they'll get that bowl ban waived for the end of this season, because you're right. The way this thing is played out, with the position they're in right now, if they're able to, they have an opportunity to play themselves into some pretty high positions, not only in the conference but in the country. Now, Vanderbilt's going to try to ruin that today, certainly, but it's been an interesting dynamic for the Tigers all year long, and you have to give them a lot of credit to stay as focused as they have, with the understanding that any day they may get the phone call that says, no, you guys aren't playing in postseason. So that's you have to give them a lot of credit for staying the course in that regard.
That is one of the most amazing things, especially when you're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds. You want that instant gratification. But you're right, especially after they lose to Wyoming, and that's still one of those fluke losses. I go back and dissect that game. You know, Kelly Bryant with a turnover, which immediately put Wyoming in the red zone, and then they're getting ready to score inside the shadows of the goal line. A fumble by the running back, taken back the other way. That's a 14-point swing right there. It's just one of those things that never should have happened, but it did. But they move on. But you're right. The fact that they still don't know, and it's going to be probably a few more weeks where they find out whether or not they're going to be bowl eligible or not. But the fact that Barry Odom and that staff has kept the players focused week in and week out, and plus it doesn't hurt either the way they've got the schedule, you know, compared to Georgia, Florida. Their two teams in the SEC West that they have to deal with, Ole Miss, which they've already taken care of business, and then they get Arkansas, whereas a Georgia, you know, has to deal with Auburn, Texas A&M, Florida with Auburn and LSU. So a lot easier two games for Missouri on the SEC West side compared to what Georgia, Florida is dealing with.
Well, that is part of the product of the nature of a 14-team conference. You know, so many times it's going to come down to how your schedule either benefits you or hampers you. You know, you have those days and those years when, as you mentioned, you happen to draw, and nobody knows when the way these things are laid out. You can't plan for what a team is going to be like 5 and 7 years in advance. But every once in a while, you get hit with that when you catch the other division teams, the two division teams that you have to play that are, you know, the top of the division, and sometimes you catch the ones that are struggling and rebuilding. Timing is a big part of it, but I think the other thing, and, you know, speaking, you know, we're, you know, talking a lot of credit here for Missouri, and certainly deservedly so, but they had a lot of guys. I mean, they had opportunities, and I'm sure there were a lot of phone calls when the NCAA sanctions were announced, trying to get guys to transfer, and they did a really good job of keeping a lot of those guys in-house, and now they have some talented wide receivers and running backs and tight ends, and they certainly are a formidable team.
You know, it's interesting. I'd like to get your opinion about this before we move on about this afternoon's game. The fact that, you know, and I saw this mentioned 2 or 3 weeks back on ESPN, and it just makes sense, not just in the SEC, but also the Big Ten as well. Do what the Big 12 is doing. Do away with divisions. Go top to bottom. And every once in a while, you may have, for example, an Alabama playing Auburn back-to-back weeks for an SEC title. It may happen. But the fact that, you know, like looking at last week, the fact that we never see contests like Arkansas, Kentucky, or Tennessee, Mississippi State. I mean, if you were born last year, you may see maybe once a team in the SEC coming to your house the way the system is set up now. Instead of having the two games, you know, that each school gets as far as the permanent teams, I would love to see the idea going to three. And then you split the other 10 teams. That means so every 4 years, you're either hosting or going to on the road to every team in the conference. So you'll see the teams that are not your permanent opponents at least twice in a 4-year span. I certainly love that idea a lot better than what we have right now.
Well, so you're talking about 9 conference games at that point.
No, you really don't. No, because you go, you basically.
Oh, you said, you explained it. You said add one, which meant 9 to me.
Yeah. You just keep your 3 permanent, and then you'd add your 5 more, and then so the other 10 teams that are not your permanent teams in the SEC, you would get 5 1 year, 5 the next, and that means like for example, let's just throw out Alabama Vanderbilt. So this year Vanderbilt would come to Alabama, and 2 years from now Alabama would come to Vanderbilt. And so you would see every team at least twice in a 4-year period of time.
Yeah, I think if you can find a way, and certainly there's some merit to that. You know, a lot of, as long as you can find a way to maintain the what these teams consider their traditional rivals, and if you can do that, you know, I can see an opportunity to make a case for that. What that also does is eliminate the SEC championship game, and I don't think anybody's going to sign up for that. There's too much money involved, and just taking, you know, the 1 and 2 teams and putting them in the championship game is not going to be the same thing. So that's something that factors into it. You're already dealing with the you know, conferences and the arguments about, you know, if you're not playing a championship game, you shouldn't be allowed to get into the playoff and all the battles that go on with that. So I know there's no perfect system. You know, I kind of, you know, once this thing got to where conferences were going from, you know, the 18 conferences to 10, and then they got to 12 and 14, then it just got almost unmanageable. You had to throw things out the window a little bit, and I think the SEC's done a reasonable job in at least trying to keep some of the traditional rivalries intact. You know, the people that scream about the loss of, with the splitting of, you know, teams leaving conferences, so you no longer have an Oklahoma-Texas or a Nebraska-Oklahoma, or, you know, you lose a lot of those, you know, games that we grew up, you know, over the years waiting to see. Those are gone, and so I guess just the landscape of college football has changed, but, you know, the financial aspect of it is really what's driving it.
Well, look, the Big 12, they do not have divisions, and they still have their conference championship game, so it doesn't necessarily have to eliminate it. It does change, but then again, though, it was changed when they first implemented the SEC title game back in 92. A lot of folks thought that we'll never have another national champion coming out of the SEC because of that. Well, I think that proved that that was not the case. If it's football, people will still be paying attention. All right, back to this game. Homecoming for Vanderbilt, does that add a little bit extra boost in the stadium today with Missouri coming to town?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's a combination of homecoming and reunion, so you get a lot more people back in town that would not normally be here, so that's a good thing. I think, you know, for us, a lot of times there are a lot of events. You never know when your game falls, so you don't know if there are a lot of events that are tied around homecoming and reunion. Whether they're going to be able to attend. I think a 3 o'clock kick is actually pretty good for us in that regard, because I know there were a lot of events last night, the Commodore Quake last night, and then there'll be a lot of events and gatherings tonight. So it should work out pretty well in that regard. So hopefully it's a boost of some kind to have the fans back and have all the classes back for reunion. And, you know, it'll be interesting, Johnny, the combination of Missouri fans and Vanderbilt fans. There'll be a lot of black and gold in the stands today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, speaking of Missouri, you know, they're kind of like under the radar in so many ways. We just don't, when you think about Missouri, you don't necessarily embrace the full success that they've been having in recent years, but they've won 11 out of their last 14 games. Their record of 19-7, the fourth best in the conference behind Bama, LSU, and Georgia. It's also the ninth best record during that same time frame as far as Power 5 conferences. But the big concern today, the fact that they've had 11 straight games of 31 or more points, and that means it's another big task there for the Vanderbilt defense to try to slow them down.
Well, the task for them coming into this year, you know, they lost Drew Locke, who's one of their all-time great quarterbacks, and they had to go out and find somebody, and they did. They found Kelly Bryant, the transfer from Clemson, who came right in and has done a marvelous job fitting in. Came in kind of, you know, touted as more of a running quarterback, a guy that was going to run more than he was going to throw. But with the weapons that he's surrounded with, you know, at Missouri, you know, not only at running back with Roundtree, but with the wide receivers that he has, and like a Jonathan Johnson and an Ants that transferred from a graduate transfer from Arkansas, and then of course the talented tight end Al, they call him Albert O, and think that's what we're going to call him today because that last name is a tough one to handle.
Did you see? But you see in the pronunciation guide that says attempted at least once, but after the first time, then you can call him Albert O the rest of the way.
That's exactly right. That's what everybody's going to do. Believe me. But it's but I think they convinced Brian he could come in and settle in. Didn't have to do it all himself. He had plenty of things around him, and he's done a really good job. And as you said, in this offense, they've been prolific. Now, I think we'll find out more down the stretch about this team. And again, starting again with today, you know, they played five straight home games, which is unheard of. Even by their standards, they were wondering about it. But now the flip side to that is now they have three straight on the road. Then they'll get one at home. Then they go back on the road again. So they'll find out a lot about themselves in the second half of the season. But they've certainly been very good up to this point.
Can you pronounce it, by the way, without looking?
Oglebukum.
That's close. That's it. Maybe I'll attempt it before our 2 hours are over
today. Actually, Mike Kelly, the play-by-play voice for Missouri, sent me Albert saying his name in audio because he says even their pronunciation guide is incorrect.
Yeah, because the pronunciation guide says it Okuebunam.
That's not it.
Well, that's what it says. Well, that's just like for the last 2 years we've been saying Garantano, where it's now Tano. And so he finally but nobody is making that change because they didn't get it right the first time, and I certainly don't think they're going to always get it right the second time.
Well, I'm fascinated at how many players over the years come in and don't even bother to really tell you the correct pronunciation of their name. It's like it doesn't make any difference to them. And so you go for years calling them one thing, and then their senior season, they walk in and say, oh, by the way, just so you know, it was this. And it's like, well, why didn't you tell me that 3 years ago? I mean, why didn't you tell anybody that 3 years ago?
I had that happen when I was working in sports information over at Tennessee State. It was a player that had a small role for his first 2 or 3 years. Then all of a sudden, bam, going into his final campaign, he had an increased role. He was going to be a starter. And he says, oh, by the way, my name is pronounced this way. And I thought, well, why didn't you say anything? Well, he says, you know, I was just taught not to correct, you know, adults. And so I never wanted to correct, you know, the coaches. So
yep, we ran into that with the Adangbos because that was pronounced incorrectly for the first couple of years. Remember Moses Acefagi?
Yes.
Who played here in Nashville as a high school player. Julian Terrell, you know, for years when he played at Ezel Harding. And at Vanderbilt, it was Terrell. And then he finally, his last year, said, oh, by the way, it's Terrell. And I think it's the same, you know, it's the same thing. You know, I think a lot of these kids are just taught, you know, don't correct, you know, people in authority, don't correct adults, just let it go. And so, yeah, but it's funny, it's amazed me over the years how many of those we run into.
Now, of course, the most unique story of all time, and it wasn't a mispronunciation, it was the fact that, oh, they were doing a Heisman Trophy campaign, and so in 1970, the sports information department there at Notre Dame thought and said, yep. Hey, Joe, you know, Theismann, that's okay. How about changing the way you pronounce your name to Joe Theismann to rhyme with Heisman? To me, the ultimate campaign. And he won by how many votes? He didn't. somebody by the name of Jim Plunkett won for Stanford in 1970.
Yep. Hey, Dyson lost.
Hey, Joe, we appreciate you as always. I hope you have a great call this afternoon. And thank you again for taking time out with us.
Thanks, Johnny.
Appreciate All right, buddy. It. That's Joe Fisher, once again, the voice of the Commodores, joining us 3 o'clock kickoff this afternoon with Missouri in town to take on Vanderbilt for homecoming. By the way, Vanderbilt, as far as celebrating homecoming, and since 1946, before that, records are a little obsolete, but Vanderbilt 29-40-3 in homecoming affairs. Another little interesting note about Missouri-Vanderbilt, two of only four Power 5 conference teams that can boast of having both a 2,000 career yard rusher and a 2,000 yard career receiving a leader on the team. For Vanderbilt, running back Keyshawn Vaughn and wide receiver Kalijah Lipscomb. For Missouri, it's running back Larry Roundtree and wide receiver Jonathan Johnson. Coming up on the other side, a chance to preview some Big Ten action, but primarily Penn State, Michigan. Corey Geiger, he covers Penn State. He's a sports writer with the Altoona Mirror. He's on the way. This segment brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, we're talking about a place that combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, and a place that you can keep up with your favorite teams on the TVs located throughout as well. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. So book your next party event. We're talking about birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com and visit their locations as well in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Jonathan Najjar, making sure everything runs smoothly, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Coming up just after 11, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340 as we preview the SEC contest this afternoon and also keeping you updated with the Auburn-Arkansas game, for example, and the other 11 o'clock kickoffs as well. Big games today in the Big Ten, including tonight, Penn State, as we have a wideout as 16th-ranked Michigan comes to town. Corey Geiger, he's a sports writer with the Altoona Mirror up in PA. A chance to talk about this game and the other Big Ten action today as well. Corey, first of all, thank you for taking time out on game day with us, and we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely, Johnny. Hope everything's going well.
Life is good. All right, so first of all, we go back to last week for Penn State. Huge win for James Franklin. The fact that they finally get a big one as far as beating a ranked team on the road, taking care of business in that matchup against Iowa, 17-12. And then, oh, by the way, this is a start. Four out of the next five games. Check this Penn State schedule out. Michigan tonight, at Michigan State next week, and then after a bye, at Minnesota, which is unbeaten at this point, and then on the 23rd of November, at Ohio State. So it's a gauntlet starting with last week's game against Iowa, continuing tonight.
Tough physical games in the Big Ten. That's what we saw last week against Iowa. A 17-12 game. You know, not a thing of beauty, Johnny. But James Franklin had been 0-11 on the road against ranked teams in his career until last week. 0-5 at Vanderbilt, 0-6 at Penn State. And he had lost those 11 games by an average of more than 28 points. So it was an important win for James Franklin just to kind of get that, you know, albatross off his back, the 0-11 mark. Not a great offensive game for Penn State, and Michigan doesn't have a great offense either. Now, Penn State scored a bunch of points against some bad teams, but this will be really interesting tonight to see which one of these two offenses can figure some things out, because both teams have good defenses, but it should be maybe one of those typical Big Ten slugfests.
We look at this matchup. You're just talking about James Franklin and his lack of success on the road against unranked teams, or excuse me, against ranked teams rather. Jim Harbaugh, same situation, head coach of Michigan, 1-6 on the road versus ranked teams as head coach of the Michigan Wolverines.
Jim Harbaugh's a fraud, Johnny. Jim Harbaugh's the most overrated coach in college football. He might be the most overrated coach in all of sports in this country. He gets all this recognition. He does all these things that brings all this attention. He gets good players, don't get me wrong. He's a good recruiter, tremendous recruiter. But he has underachieved massively at Michigan. and he's already lost. They got destroyed against Wisconsin. They were down 35-0 in that game, lost 35-14. If he loses this game tonight, then they've got Notre Dame, and I don't see any way they beat Ohio State down the road. Ohio State's just fantastic. You're talking about four losses potentially for Michigan, and this is supposed to be a guy that's competing for national championships. Well, he's never even won the Big Ten East. He's never won the Big Ten, never played in Big Ten championship games. So you hear all this Jim Harbaugh. He just simply has not gotten it done to the level of expectation that Michigan fans had when they hired him.
You know, it's interesting when we think about James Franklin at Penn State. You know, how would you overall, you know, from a standpoint as a fan of Penn State, how do you view James Franklin as far as what he's done so far in his career?
You know, John, you have to keep everything with a level of perspective. Obviously, coming off of the major scandal in 2011, expectations for Penn State really dropped significantly. And with what he was able to do with Joe Moorhead as the offensive coordinator in 2016, winning the Big Ten, getting to the Rose Bowl, playing an epic game against USC in the Rose Bowl, that to win the Big Ten in 2016 probably was 3, 4, 5 years maybe ahead of schedule. Nobody here thought that Penn State football was just going to get crushed and go away, you know, for 15 years. That was not – they were still recruiting okay, and they had talent in the program, plus a 100,000-seat stadium. There was going to be a level of success regardless. But for James Franklin to kick that up a level in 2016, a good, again, 3 to 5 years ahead of what everybody thought, was remarkable. I mean, really. Now again – James did a good job. I give a lot of credit to Joe Moorhead for coming in and revolutionizing the Penn State offense in 2016. And Franklin has lost a good number of games that you think, okay, well, you know, you could, if they could won some of these here, there, beat Ohio State a couple of more times. But again, you have to keep perspective of where Penn State was 5 years ago and how he was able to get them back on a national map quicker than expected. Johnny, they're the number 7 team in the country right now, and I think they're a year ahead of schedule for what they've got with this team. I think Penn State could win the national championship next year. They've got their entire offense back next year, most of their defense, and they'll probably start next year ranked inside the top 5. So we had more questions about this team with a new starting quarterback this year, and here they are playing Michigan, and they're undefeated and ranked 7th in the country.
Do they compare things this year to, say, 2017? That particular team 2 years ago started off 7-0, and then they slipped up back-to-back weeks against Ohio State, Michigan State, and so chances of, quote-unquote, being one of the four playoff teams went out the window. Looking to maybe rewrite the history by maybe not having those same hiccups like they experienced 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good possibility. But what I would say is, I still don't know how good this team is. I mean, they're 6-0 and they're ranked 7th in the country. Their one good win was against Iowa on the road. Now, to beat Iowa on the road in a night game, I've been to Kinnick Stadium many times. It's very difficult to win there. But it's still Iowa. They were 17th in the country. Penn State plays Michigan tonight. But Michigan's offense has really struggled, and Michigan, I think, is an underachieving program. So I think Penn State will win this game tonight, and I'm still not sure that we're going to know if they are, you know, the caliber of a national, you know, power this year. Having said all that, Penn State's defense is phenomenal. Penn State's defense could probably keep them in a game against anybody, and we'll certainly find out against Ohio State down the road. That's the measuring stick that's out there looming down the road, that you just think, okay, no matter what Penn State does, you've got to go to Columbus, and that's where they've got to prove themselves. But one thing real quick, Johnny, you mentioned Minnesota earlier. Penn State's got to go to Minnesota here in a few weeks. And while that might be just another game for Penn State, because Penn State's key games are Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, that Minnesota game, that's Minnesota's Super Bowl. They have a chance maybe to face a top 5, top 6 Penn State team here in a few weeks if Penn State's still undefeated. And you can guarantee that Minnesota will be fired up and ready for that. Now, I'm not sure if Minnesota's offense can, you know, could do a great number of things against Penn State's defense. But the point is, when you get to this level on a national stage, you have a target on your back, and everybody is going to want to put their best effort against you.
Yeah, I'm like you about I'm not sure where we are with Penn State. There's a handful of teams. I don't know if they're pretenders or contenders as far as being one of those four playoff teams. And Penn State, I go back the last two seasons. In 2017, on the road, double-digit favorite against Iowa, they win by two. Last year, starting the season off as a 23.5-point favorite at home against Appalachian State, it takes overtime before they prevail by seven. And then earlier this year, I know it's a rivalry game of sorts as far as the month of September. They were very fortunate to get the win against Pitt, winning 17-10. But, you know, it's tough to put together 12. In fact, you have to go all the way back to the mid-90s when Nebraska was it. There was one team that won the national title that never was really threatened during the regular season. Since then, you can't give me another team that went on to win a national title that did not have to survive on one given Saturday.
Yeah, and I would not put Penn State in the national title kind of caliber race right now. If they come out and throttle Michigan by three touchdowns, we'll see there. And again, but we just have to wait until that showdown in Columbus. If Penn State goes to Columbus and plays Ohio State within a touchdown, then heck yeah, they're a national championship caliber kind of team, because I think Ohio State might be the best team in the country. Right now, we would have to wait and see how they would do against an Alabama or a Clemson, but Penn State has to go there. So everything will be determined by that. And I know we're talking about this season, but like I said earlier, I could see Penn State getting to the playoff next year or even maybe winning it next year because of everybody they've got back. And anytime you look at your schedule, when you have a great team, you have to look and see where you play Ohio State. Well, next year, Ohio State comes to Penn State. This year, when you've got to go to Columbus, it is such an enormous challenge that to just assume that you're going to go in there and win is really, I mean, that's going to be really difficult to do. So that's where, no matter what happens against Michigan or Michigan State or Minnesota, Penn State's national championship or playoff hopes are going to depend on, you know, solely on that game at Ohio State.
Hey, weird thing with the schedule this week, because 12 of the 25 teams ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll. So with that, you would think, and six are from the SEC, six are from the Big Ten, so you would think you'd have multiple meetings, right, of top 25 teams with regards to those two conferences? Just one, and that's tonight with Penn State, with the Whiteout, hosting Michigan.
110,000 people will be there, and for the fans who have seen these kinds of things on TV, you can hear about the atmosphere and see what the atmosphere looks like on TV. I've been to a bunch of Whiteouts. It's pretty darn amazing, man. You get 110,000 people wearing white at night. Fans are kind of free-spirited, if you know what I mean, after a day of drinking. It can be a wild, wild atmosphere. Penn State's won a bunch of these big games like this in whiteouts, and there's no love lost between these two teams. Michigan beat Penn State 49-10 back in 2016 when Penn State won the Big Ten. Penn State returned the favor by blowing out Michigan the next year. Michigan beat Penn State last year 42-7 in Ann Arbor. So these are very interesting games that are kind of difficult to predict.
Hey, before we let you go, Corey, remind everybody again how they can keep up with your coverage of not only Penn State but the Big Ten as well.
You can follow me on Twitter at Corey Geiger. I try to have fun with my Twitter account with the news and humor and things like that. So at Corey Geiger on Twitter.
And I'm sure Jim Harbaugh is a follower as well.
What a fraud. What a fraud. I have no qualms in saying that.
Hey, we appreciate you, Corey. Have a great football weekend. We'll talk down the road.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. That's Corey Geiger, once again, sports writer with the Altoona Mirror, covers Penn State and along with the Big Ten as well. We'll be with you until noon this morning with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show coming up next hour, just after 11. Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. He is a co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 as we previewed the SEC today. Also at 11:37, a big treat too, with Bob Kessling, the voice of the Tennessee Vols, a part of the show, joining us from Tuscaloosa. All that coming up this morning on our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show every Saturday, bringing it strong from 10 a.m. to noon with a look at all the top 25 action, SEC, and more. And we thank you for joining us each and every Saturday with our show. It's time for our Armed Forces Update, and speaking of which, as far as Lanham's AC Service, this Armed Forces Update brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. As you know, for about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about 90-degree weather. Now we're getting the cooler months and days ahead. So here's the thing. If you haven't already done so, make sure you call and schedule a maintenance call, or maybe you're having a breakdown with your service. Schedule that as well, as they are prepared, and they basically take care and service all brands out there at Lanham's AC Service. You can get in touch with them at 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com. As far as our Armed Forces Update, first with Navy out of the American Athletic Conference. The Midshipmen, 4-1 on the year, 2-1 in conference play. Last week, they took care of business against Tulsa, 45-17. Today, they're hosting South Florida, a 2:30 start time. South Florida, 3-3 on the year, 1-1 in conference play. Next week, Navy will be playing host to Tulane, a 2:30 afternoon start for that one. As far as Army, the Black Knights, 3-3 on the season. How about a big win for Western Kentucky at home over Army last week? Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, winning that one 17-8. Army today, they'll be at Georgia State. The Panthers 4-2 on the season. 6 o'clock kickoff for that one tonight. And then next week, Army plays host to San Jose State. 11 a.m. kickoff next Saturday. And then finally, from the Mountain West, Air Force, the Falcons, 4-2 on the year, 2-1 in conference play. They beat Fresno State last week going away, 43-24. How about they get the nice little trip across the water to Hawaii tonight, 10 p.m. start time as Hawaii, the Rainbow Warriors, 4-2 on the year, 1-1 in Mountain West action. Next week, Air Force will play host to Utah State, 9:15 start time for that one. Once again, this Armed Forces Update brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. You can call and schedule a service or maintenance call at 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or you can go to lanhamsacservice.com for more information. They've been serving the area for over 30 years. Owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee. I should know. I've been a customer for almost a decade. I trust them, and you should too. As far as later today, don't forget Western Kentucky celebrating homecoming. 2 o'clock as far as the pregame show. 3 o'clock kickoff as Western Kentucky taking on Charlotte today. Three straight wins for Western Kentucky over UAB, Old Dominion, Army last week. Today for homecoming, taking on Charlotte, Conference USA action. That's 2 o'clock for pregame, kickoff at 3. Also later on tonight, we'll have Penn State, Michigan for that one. That's a 6:30 kickoff in that game. Big game there. Happy Valley, wideout, 110,000 plus expected on hand tonight as Penn State takes on Michigan. One of three matchups today where both teams are ranked in the top 25. You also will get Washington, ranked 25th, hosting 12th-ranked Oregon. That's a 2:30 start time this afternoon. And then finally, the other top 25 matchup today, also from the Pac-12, as 13th-ranked Utah plays host to 17th-ranked Arizona State. 5 o'clock kickoff for that one. Coming up at the top of the hour, Doug Seegers out of Birmingham. He's a co-host on the show, The Zone, on ABC 3340. As our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.